Zebinha, of Jewish Lipov. Jewish Leib Lipov. One of the rabbis. So Rabbi Jewish Leib, he got the Uman finally. He was a young boy, 16 years old. They used to go and do it, both do it at night. It was a bit chilly out, minus 30 degrees Celsius. After they turbled in the ice river. And they used to go to a freezing, fiery night. Every night. Yeah? Kufa Chalfa. And Rabbouch, his friend, the friend of Rabbi Yishlev, decided to marry this young Oved, Rabbi Yishlev, to the daughter of Rabbi Aaron Kiblitzer. Who was Rabbi Aaron Kiblitzer? Rabbi Aaron Kiblitzer was the father-in-law of Rabbi Yitzchak Bender, meaning the daughter of his daughter, which was the sister of Rabbi Yitzchak's wife. And that was the Rav Levi Yitzchak was the Siddur Kiddushin. And they got married. He became a brother-in-law of Rav Levi Yitzchak Bender.
Adopt two children, okay?
What?
Yitzchak Bender, adopt two children.
He adopted two children?
Yeah. Huh? From his father-in-law, he died.
Ah, maybe, I don't know. I don't remember.
A girl and a boy.
Ah.
I read in the book.
Yeah, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, he admired Rabbi Yishlev, and when he used to speak about Rabbi Yishlev, he would say, we can't even imagine how people, he used to say, Rabbi Yitzchak, we can't imagine how people, talking about his brother-in-law, people on this earth can reach such high levels in serving Hashem. It must be Rabbeinu giving them life. That's what he said. Right? Right, we used to talk. When Rabbi Yitzchak used to talk with people, he wanted to give him chizuk. He said, "You know, I have to serve Hashem. I tell you about my brother-in-law, your slave. Every night, he used to get up in the freezing, icy Russian nights, for hours of crying on Beis Hamidash. He used to go out to the. It was a bit cold out, huh? He's a bit cold. He used to go out." To eat bolus that they have beginning, but they don't have ends. That's how Rabbi Yitzchak used to say. And when he came back, he was just a block of ice. What did he do? He went to sleep or something. And then he used to fire us all with the morning, with the shachris. Yeah. The awesome work, the awesome avodah of Rabbi Yishlev, it awoken even the people that were there by Rabbeinu for years. Shmuel Chechik, in his book Ein Haaretz, he says that the rabbi of Minsk in those days was Rabbi Avraham Eliyahu Mazes. And he was a long time in Uman. And he saw Rabbi Yishlev. And he said, and then he saw Rabbi Yishlev in his group serving Hashem. So he used to say like this, Ribbono Shel Olam, don't punish me for the lack of work and the so little that I do. Because every time I see them, I get full of embarrassment, full of shame. I don't do anything. Look at them. Rabbi Yishlev was much the highest. But Rabbi Yishlev, he didn't want to stay in Uman. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael. The problem is that the same way you were able to only go in to Russia, you could hardly even go into Russia. You could also hardly go out. So it was a communist. Right? He tried tens of times to get out of Russia. All kinds of ways. He didn't have any set plans how to get out. Just Mesil with Nefesh he had, and he had a lot of emotions to go to Eretz Yisrael. Right? So he's taken his bag, some bread and some dry bread, and Likutei Moharan. And he had the staff of Rabbeinu, which is lost already in our days. He had the staff of Rabbeinu, and Mesil with Nefesh, and he used to walk. him and his friend Rav Leib Tzernter tried to get there to Israel. They walked. They even reached to Bukhara. You know what Bukhara is? It's all the way in the east. It's in Asia. Right? They tried to get through there, out of there. Once they even reached the border with Iran, okay, so they were all over the place. They almost froze to death in the Ural Mountains. Kitsu. Rav Hirsch Leib hardly spoke about those days. Sometimes he said that some places that he reached were so cold in the winter that when you take a bottle of water and you spill the water, it froze before it reached the ground. Kind of cold. Yeah, they only do one thing. The destiny, the destination is Eretz Yisrael. The way is Mesilus Nefesh. They didn't know how to get there. The problem is that one of the main things that they did, they decided that during the day they'll find a corner and they'll daven and learn all day, and at night they'll walk. When they sleep, let's sleep. Anyways, but the problem is that they couldn't reach there. Why couldn't they reach out of this side? Because they took upon themselves that every time Rosh Hashanah, Chanukah, and Shavuos, they have to be by Uman. So they every time have to go back. So they have to be in Uman. Huh? So they every time they have to go back to, yeah. Unless it's something that's mamash taking a day of Israel, but otherwise they'll go back to Uman. They used to go out for weeks and weeks. 9 years they tried to get out of Israel. Rabbi Yishleib never regretted those years. He said, "What? That was part of my way." And then it says, everyone knows the Medrash. The Gemara says this. And Medrash says this. And a Geula ba'ela b'sechadad. The Geula doesn't come only b'sechadad. When you don't think about it, then the Geula comes. And then after all these arpatkaot, all these dangers and stuff that they tried to get out of Israel, they finally were able. After a short time after he got married, him and his wife got the certificates to leave communist Russia through Chabad. Chabad helped them. In Tafresh Tzadik Daled, 1934, they were able to go in a normal way, legal way, to Eretz Yisrael. And right after he came to Eretz Yisrael, he made sure to get Rabbi Avraham Shtern outside of there also. Rabbi Eliyahu Chaim Ruzin, which was a friend of Rabbi Yitzchak, which was almost killed by the communists. And his parents also, he brought them to Eretz Yisrael. Right away when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he started living in Batei Machaseh, in the old city. And afterwards, after the destruction of the old city, after he lived in Katamon. Over there he met all the Ovdei Hashem. And once Rav Shmuel Shapira met him, and when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he said, this is the one I wanted. He wished. He cleaved to him. His whole life he cleaved to him. From Rav Avraham Shternhardt, Rav Shmuel learned the inside of Rabbeinu, all the Torah, the deep ways of Rabbeinu. From Rav Hirsch Leib, he learned the fire of Rabbeinu. That's fire for Rabbeinu. Yeah. Here's one expression of how much Rav Shmuel Shapira admired the Rav Hirsch Leib. Yeah, one of the years in the middle of Yom Kippur, I'm sorry, middle of Purim, it's almost Purim. Little Purim, he was drank a bit. He used to drink a lot of Shmuel Shapira. Right?
We didn't follow the Zohar too much.
No, if you're like Rav Shmuel, you can drink a lot, no problem. Our problem is that we do shtuyot when we drink. Shmuel, listen to what he does when he drinks. He called Rav Meir Levinson and said, let's go to Rav Meir today. Yeah? They went to Rav Meir. Come Rav Meir Levinson, let's go to Rav Hirsch Leib's house. He said, but we're drunk. He said, so what? He said, but they won't let us go into the house. He says, to go in? Even just to stand outside of his house, just to hold the knob of the door, is already enough. We don't need even to get in. Yeah, and also Rabbi Shleid loved Rabbi Shmuel very, very much. And Rabbi Shleid, he asked Rabbi Shmuel to say Kaddish after he dies. You know, acting like a son. Rabbi Shmuel, of course, he agreed and used to say Kaddish till the last day. Rabbi Shmuel Shapira said Kaddish to Rabbi Shleid. And also Rabbi Shmuel, one of his children, he named after the father of Rabbi Shleid. It shows the connection they had. Yeah. So, we'll stop here.